greatest symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
Hey, this is Kurt Angle, and welcome to the Kurt Angle Show. On the show today, we'll be discussing the Main Event Mafia from TNA. But first, let me introduce to you my co-host, Paul Bromwell. How you doing today, Paul?
Hey, Kurt, I'm doing great. It's great to see you, my friend. And I think some people figured it out last week. You and I were talking about your vacation. You were like, oh, I ate at some great places and this and that. And you hadn't even been there yet, Kurt. We were pre-recording because of vacation and doing our best to kayfabe it a little bit. But now you're back from what truly you said before we got on the show here was an awesome vacation with your entire family, all your kids.
Tell us about it. The only problem is every restaurant was booked solid. You could not get in anywhere. I mean, this is at its highest peak in June, late June, early July.
Oh, I bet.
Sarasota, Florida is packed. And it was really tough to get a reservation at a restaurant. So we ate a lot in our house, in our Airbnb.
Even with the last name Angle, you couldn't work it out.
Nope, couldn't do it.
Oh, my God, Kurt.
My wife was cooking all the time. Poor woman.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you had that. I saw the cool USA shirts. You and Cody had the matching polo on.
Yeah. Cody bought me that.
Did he?
I had to wear it. Yeah.
Well, speaking of USA, we're just coming off of July 4th. Did you do anything fun for Independence Day?
I went to my sister-in-law's, and they had some great fireworks. We had a lot of fun. My whole family went there, and my son Joseph, the older son, he brought his girlfriend, so everybody got to meet her for the first time, so it was pretty cool.
Oh, he's got a girlfriend. I didn't know that, Kurt.
Yes, he does. Yes, he's a little stud.
And you approve, huh? He did good?
I approve. She's a good girl. Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. But man, it sounds good. Yeah. I had a few days off as well. I was out not too far away from you. I was out in Western PA outside of Greensburg, visiting some relatives there.
Nice area.
Yeah. For a few days too. So, but we're back, we're refreshed, and you said it, we're here to talk about the Main Event Mafia and not the entire experience, but the birth of the Main Event Mafia. We're going back 15 years ago to 2008 and your time in TNA. And I enjoy these TNA shows specifically because we don't have to filter the video, which I love for our YouTube audience.
A little easier on us.
It is. It makes it a little easier for us and we can have fun. People can see it. And but yeah, man. And listen, Main Event Mafia, kind of a big deal, wouldn't you say? It was a big deal for a lot of fans. They loved the group.
Yeah, you know what? It was really cool to be able to bring all these guys together and have a faction with the wrestlers that had the huge success. Kevin Nash and Booker T and Scott Steiner, Sting, Kurt Angle. It was a really cool faction. And Kevin Nash came up with the idea and concept, and I thought it was awesome.
Man, Nash has such a mind for the business. He has a successful podcast. But, man, click this if you guys want to check that out. But we're going to jump into it. And the seeds are slowly planted for the group's formation. And it starts on the episode of Impact on May 22nd from 2008 when you, Kurt, helped Booker T defeat AJ Styles in a King of the Mountain qualifier. Did you know at this point what the group was going to be and what it was all about?
Yeah, I knew at this point in time. Kevin presented it to the writers, and the writers spoke to me, and I was game. I was on board with this thing, and so we started with the Booker T versus AJ, and I assisted Booker T in the win, and that's how we all began the storyline.
Okay, so you've already told us, let the cat out of the bag here. Kevin Nash is the author of the entire idea, so that's who it comes from. Was there any problem with obviously creative? The whoever's in charge of creative at this point, they were all in. Whatever Kevin Nash said, they were all in. And
yeah. Kevin's great, man. He's really creative. He comes up with a lot of ideas. I mean, look what he did in WCW, and he had the Click, and then he had
NWO.
He had the NWO.
Yeah.
Kevin Nash is part of the greatest factions of all time. And you know what? Main Event Mafia wasn't too bad either.
No, not at all. Well, listen, at Victory Road 2008, Sting returns to TNA, attacks Samoa Joe after his TNA title match with Booker T in Houston. And Joe's pounding Booker until finally Sting comes out and tells him that's enough. And eventually Joe flips him off and Sting hits him with the bat. And now we have Sting in a heel role. Kurt, what do you think about Sting as a heel?
I don't think of Sting as a heel. It just doesn't happen. You know, he was such a babyface his whole entire career. I don't even know if he turned heel in WCW. No. Not that what I can remember. And, you know, it was really difficult for Sting to do this. He took to it pretty well, but I know that he was uncomfortable because he's never done it before. And he was always a babyface, and the people always adored him. The fans loved him. So it was a little difficult, I'd imagine, for Sting to do this.
Yeah, I mean, even you mentioned WCW. He was that white meat baby face that, you know, when he was had the crew cut and all that. But when he became Crow Sting, it was that darker, but still baby face.
Still baby face,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Well, listen, at Hard Justice, you take on AJ Styles in a last man standing match, and Sting appears at the end of the match to save you after AJ wins and gives AJ a scorpion death drop. And there's arguing between Kevin Nash and Sting for attacking AJ. All these top stars, you talked about it. And mind you, all of you are from the WWF, WWE, or WCW. And you guys are going to go against those well-established stars here in TNA of Samoa Joe and AJ Styles. But it just felt like a compelling storyline, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It was the guys from WWE and WCW that were going to go up against the TNA originals. And I thought it was a great storyline. I thought it was going to be very compelling. We'd have a lot of great matches together. And the whole idea, the whole concept wasn't to make us. It was to make the younger talent in TNA. Obviously, we're going to win everything at the beginning, you know, and dominate. And then these guys were going to come back on us and, you know, win the titles back. And we were going to make more stars, not just the AJs and the Samoa Joes, but everybody. We wanted to elevate everyone. We thought this was a great idea to do this.
Oh, I mean, listen, in theory, you guys are the stars that we know from WWE, WCW. So in the end, if you're giving the rub to these guys and putting them over, sure, then it should make sense that they're elevated. There's a guy I want to talk about now, Kurt, that kind of leaves a little early and it doesn't work out for him because the original plan, from what we could find in our research, is that Tomko, he was supposed to be the young man of the group. It never happens. He leaves TNA. Were you surprised to see him leave here at this point?
Yes. I don't know if it was the money or if he was interested in going over to Japan. I wasn't sure why he decided to leave, but he was going to be in a good spot if he would have stayed. So I'm really surprised that he left.
There's also some talk between Sting and Nash about what Sting's intention were. And this was some of the best stuff TNA ever did, in my opinion. Would you agree with that, Kurt?
Yeah, yeah. You know, things got a little, you know, rugged and rough, and you know, there was a lot of drama, and you're right, definitely a great storyline to produce.
And it felt like it was a real straightforward way to put this whole group together.
Yeah, no twists and turns.
No,
straightforward, very simple, very basic.
Yeah. Which we've talked about on this podcast a number of times. Some of the hanky panky or some of the goofy stuff that felt like that they had to always add to some of these storylines.
The swerves and stuff. Yeah,
yeah. It wasn't
people
necessary.
Don't understand. Yeah. You just plain and simple, straightforward, do it that way.
You mentioned, you said, hey, Paul, at the end of the day, the goal was to make AJ and Samoa Joe bigger stars.
And the other talents.
Yeah, and other guys, too, at this point. And a lot of the storyline and some of the truth to a lot of the promos that Sting's cutting here were about how the young guys claim the veterans owe them nothing, and they need to move out of the way and let them. And I'm talking Joe and AJ and others claim their rightful spot. Was that, you know, tongue-in-cheek about the guys in TNA feeling like these top stars were coming in and taking their spots? Or what's
going on
here? Of course.
Listen, these guys were excited when we joined TNA. All, you know, Kevin, Sting, myself, you know, they were excited because they were like, wow, Kurt Angle just joined. You know, we're going to be a stronger company. But once we got in there, they were like, wait a minute. You know, where do we go? Why did we drop a level? And I understand, and I don't blame them for that. But you're going to have people come in from other companies to make this company grow. They needed some bigger stars, and we were able to do that for them. So I think you work as a team. You have the TNA originals. You have the guys that come from WCW and WWE, and you bring them together, and you make a great company.
I mean, I agree with you 100%. Listen, people knew who Kurt Angle was. People are going to turn a channel to watch Kurt Angle wrestle.
Think so? No,
I think so. Okay, I know your head. The headphones are about to pop off as it swells. But now, seriously though, they knew who you are. They knew who Kevin Nash is. They know who Booker T is. Big national, you know, everybody knows big time wrestling stars. And to then learn and watch an AJ Styles wrestle you, and had those holy shit moments to see some of the stuff he could do. Now, all of a sudden, you're developing new AJ Styles fans, new Samoa Joe fans.
You have AJ wrestle any TNA original, and it's great. You know, you love it. Right. But you have TNA wrestle with Kurt Angle and him perform at that level that he does. It's like, holy crap, this kid's really good.
It's next level. It's next level, man. Well, listen, you would wrestle Kevin Nash on Impact in late August in a match that's a qualifier for the TNA title match at No Surrender, that you would get the win. Imagine that. And here's what the Torch had to say. Said, Angle came out first. Samoa Joe was sitting ringside with TNA and Wes. Joe said, anyone who wants a piece of him can come get some. He predicted he'll remain champion at No Surrender. TNA asked Joe if he's rooting for his mentor, Nash, and added it'd be great to have Nash to watch his back at No Surrender. Joe said, when you're champion, you can't really count on anyone to watch your back. He said he's number one right now, and Nash has never been good at being number two. Angle bailed out as Nash entered the ring. Angle worked over Nash's legs after the break, including a figure four. Nash rolled over to reverse it and then grasped the ropes to force a break at seven. Then he had a big side slam to neutralize Angle. Both men were slow to get up. Nash shoulder tackled Angle for a two count at 8 minutes for a two count, then clotheslined him to the floor. Angle crawled over to the announce table. He slapped Joe in the face and told him to keep his eyes on him. That was out of nowhere. Nash gave Angle a big boot to the face. Joe stood up and walked to ringside. Nash set up a jackknife. Angle gave Nash a low blow from behind. Angle hits the Olympic slam for the win. Winner, Kurt Angle, in 10 minutes. Throwing in that low blow there, Kurt. See what you did there.
If you're going to beat Kevin Nash, you got to cheat.
This is one of the few singles matches, though, that you had with Big Sexy in your career. What did you think? Talk to us about working with Big Kev.
You know what? I was surprised because I thought he'd be pretty limited because he blew his knee out in WWE. Yeah. And, you know, that was a pretty nasty injury. But he seemed to be fine when I wrestled him. I mean, I know he was protecting his knee at this point in time, but I thought he produced pretty well. I thought we had a great match, especially for a 10-minute match.
I want to hear about your two's relationship backstage. Did you have lots of good – I mean, he's a conversationalist. There's no doubt about it. If you ever have checked out his podcast, has lots of thoughts, lots of opinions,
loves to talk. Yes.
Loves to talk. So talk to me about you two and your relationship.
We became very close. I didn't even talk to him in WWE. I barely spoke to him. We would say hi when we passed by each other. But in TNA, we became really tight friends. We had a mutual respect. And with that mutual respect was, a great friendship that produced.
Did you guys share similar viewpoints as far as on the wrestling business?
Yes. I was all on board with what Kevin was, you know, his whole idea was to make the younger wrestlers, and his whole idea was also to make us shine first, make sure that we were dominating everybody, and then we would put people over. And I totally agreed with him.
And you said, too, that you really didn't get to know him that well in 2002 in WWE, huh?
No, I mean, they weren't. They're social guys, but, you know, they had their own little clique, you know, Sean and Hunter and, you know, Kevin Nash and
the
Scott
clique.
Yeah, it was the clique. Yeah. So, nobody really spoke to him that much. I mean, I might say ask him a question or something, but we wouldn't have a long conversation. No.
So that's cool, though, that now you have this opportunity here in TNA to get to know him better, talk to each other, and kind of form that friendship. So,
yeah, and he's a quality individual, man. He's a great human being.
Well, listen, man, you earned a spot now in the four-way match at No Surrender, where you're going to take on Joe Booker and Christian Cage in a TNA title match. And the next week, you'd come out for a promo. Are you ready? Because here we go. We got clip one of this week. You want to ready to check it out?
Let's do it.
All right, here we go.
Come on, Joe. You're looking at a portrait of what a real world champion is supposed to look like. Booker T and Kurt Angle. You see, we carry ourselves with dignity, honor, and respect. Traits you will never have, Samoa Joe. You see, I would never speak on Sting's behalf, but last week, everything that he said was directed toward you, Samoa Joe. You are a disgrace to the TNA World Heavyweight Championship. Am I right?
You know, Kurt Angle is right on the money, Joseph. You see, when Sting spoke last week, he spoke the truth. He spoke the truth about today's wrestlers. A bunch of spoiled brats who want everything, but they have earned nothing. You see, what you see in the middle of this ring here tonight is two champions. Not only two champions, but two distinguished gentlemen. And the way I see it, Joe, at No Surrender, the world title would be decided between two gentlemen, and that is Kurt Angle and myself. The old-fashioned way, man-to-man, face-to-face, like two champions should.
I couldn't agree with you anymore, Booker T. You see, at No Surrender, it's going to go a little something like this. We're going to take the winner of Christian Cage and AJ Styles, and we're going to take him out just like that. Kaput, gone. Right at the beginning of the match. Then we're going to comb the whole entire arena and find that country-wielded hick. And we're going to take that guitar and stick it straight up his... Then, Samoa Joe, we're going to make an example out of you. We're going to humiliate you like the punk that you are. Oh, it's real. It's damn real.
Yes, it's going to be two former TNA World Champions to compete head-to-head later tonight to see who will join Kurt Angle and Booker T at No Surrender against Samoa Joe, and I can't wait to hear what Christian Cage has to say about his match tonight against AJ Styles on Impact.
I don't really mean to interrupt, but I couldn't help it. I heard you out here running your mouth, Kurt, and I just want to set the record straight on something. You're not going to have to worry about AJ Styles at No Surrender because you're looking at the man that's going to qualify tonight in the Four Ways to Glory match. Now, don't get me wrong. AJ Styles is the future of this business. AJ Styles and I have had our problems in the past, but we've patched those up. This isn't about that right now. This is about No Surrender in my backyard. This is about the main event at No Surrender. Now, while you guys are out here talking, seemingly worried about all these politics going on, you seem a little bit distracted, and you know what? I hope that you are. I hope that you are distracted, because while you're thinking about that, I'll be thinking about this. Becoming a three-time world heavyweight champion.
Wait a damn bit. The hell you talking about? Run it out here. Man, you ain't nothing but a poop butt. Fairy tale dream king of the politics. Man, look here. You always talking about how you roll. Well, let me tell you something. Of all people, you need to be rolling with this right here. Look, man. These young guys right here ain't showed us nothing. And first of all, they ain't showed Booker T, D Royalty, they ain't showing me no respect right here.
Hold on 1 second before you blow a gasket there, Whoopi Goldberg. Is it really about the lack of respect? Or Booker, are you just worried about losing your spot?
Whoa. You want to play the role of the superhero? You go ahead. Okay, I'll make this simple. I'll make this very simple. We can do this the easy way, or we can do it the hard way. It's your choice.
It's my choice? Well, that depends, Kurt. What's the hard way?
Looks like we're about to see the definition of the hard way from Kurt Angle removing his jacket and going right up the ramp to confront Christian Cage, and there they go.
Well, they've goaded him into this, and Christian Cage should be careful. He's got a match later on tonight to qualify, but he doesn't care. He just goes right after the two that are going to be at No Surrender.
And as soon as Angle sneaks up from behind, Cage is ready for him. Right hands for both, but then all of a sudden, the two-on-one beatdown is just too much. They've got him trapped in the corner.
Well, you knew it was going to happen. I mean, two people of that magnitude in Kurt Angle and Booker T, the numbers game was going to be. And wait a minute, here he comes, the phenomenal AJ Styles, and he's breaking it up as he goes right after Kurt Angle.
Think of the irony of this. Christian Cage's opponent later tonight in the Four Ways to Glory qualifying match, the phenomenal AJ Styles is the one who just saved his butt.
Kurt, that's a lot of fun. The last time we saw you with Booker T and Charmel, it was a very different situation.
Bestiality sense.
It was a lot of inappropriate sexual sins going on there.
Did you notice that Booker T lost his accent?
Did you know? Yeah, like halfway through.
I think things just got real serious and he went back to the old Booker T.
He did. He just started getting fired up. The accent went right out the window. But I love Booker T with the accent.
Oh, I do too. Jamaica, man.
And not only that, I also loved when he was King Booker, when he did the whole King Booker thing
King
in
Booker
WWE.
Love
awesome. That shit, man. So
entertaining. One of the most entertaining wrestlers in the history of the business.
But I mean, were you enjoying his gimmick here with Charmel? You had to be having a blast.
Oh, yeah. It was a blast. Booker was having fun. In TNA, he had more fun than anybody else. It's like he was... He was trying new things. And
he could, you know, right. There was no pressure.
Stepping outside the box. He was really doing a lot of that. And I was really impressed by it.
But that was the beauty of TNA, though, right? You didn't feel the same level of pressure to be able to go out and test the waters with some of this.
Yeah,
stuff.
You could test the waters, definitely. You're absolutely right.
Let's talk about styling and profiling. Woo, because you're rocking the suit, the tie. Was that all Kevin Nash's, hey, we're Main Event Mafia, let's put the threads on?
The rule was we had to wear suits. The Main Event Mafia all wore suits, and that was the rule, and I was following.
So did you all guys have tailors? You head into Men's Warehouse, you go JCPenney. I mean, what we do here, Kurt? What was your tailor of choice?
I actually bought some David Allen suits. I don't even know if you know who that is, but they're coming along pretty well here. I was one of their first customers.
Okay. You were their first Olympic hero. Got it. Well, you know, you guys are all looking good, which I've always loved. I mean, since the Four Horsemen and when they would dress up and talk about what they were wearing, I always thought that's
what we were trying to mimic. Yes.
Well, now you have Cody, who always looks sharp when he comes out with the suit tie.
Yes, he does. Yeah, he always looks good.
Yeah, so I'm for it. So you guys are setting yourself apart as royalty. You know, it just gives you another, like, upper-level feel. Christian comes out. We see this. You guys go back and forth. You attack him. AJ comes out and makes a save. 2 weeks later, you tag with Booker to defeat Abyss and Matt Morgan. Do you think you two could have been a successful tag team if given the chance, you and Booker? How much fun would that be?
Oh, God, we would have had a blast. We would have been hilarious together. Especially if we didn't get along. I mean, right. Booker and I could do some funny ass stuff.
He never makes it to the pay-per-view due to Hurricane Ike. Remember that?
Yeah. I remember Hurricane Ike, and I remember Booker T not making it. And I also know Kevin Nash didn't show up, and I'm not sure why.
Do you remember, though, like kind of like Helter Skelter trying to figure out how to change the story of that match because of Booker T, or...
I can't remember if we just had a forfeit or if we ended up, I don't know if they replaced somebody. I cannot remember.
You said Kevin Nash wasn't flown in for the show. So yeah. And I don't have any of the background in my notes here about why he wasn't there. So a lot going on. He's, you know, Booker T not there for Hurricane Ike. Nash doesn't fly in for the show. And that's the way
it was that a weird night. Not
that the way that that all goes down. Yeah. Sting announces that he'll be challenging for the TNA title at Bound for Glory against the winner of the main event. And it's Joe after Jeff Jarrett makes his return to TNA for the first time since May of 2007. And Kurt, he hits you over the head with the guitar. He busts you open and Joe hits you with the muscle buster and retains. Were you pissed about the guitar shop busting you open? Here we go for the clickbait, baby.
Honestly, no. That happens. Shit like that happens. What happened was the guitar strings cut me hit the guitar of my head.
Okay.
Strings came down my head and kind of cut me open a little bit. I'm sure there was a couple of edges of the wood that hit my head too, but I had a few different lacerations. So it wasn't pretty.
Hey man, listen, last year I was at Top Guy Weekend, little peek behind the curtain, and he hit Corey Ryan Forrester, a comedian, with a guitar. And he's a buddy of mine. And after the show, Corey, I saw the back, and he had cuts on the back of it. Just happens. It doesn't matter if the guitar is gimmicked or not.
It doesn't hurt either. It's just,
yeah. Just, but you're going to get cut.
A little bloody.
Yeah. So, but were you happy overall with the match when all things considered?
Yeah. I was very happy with the match. I thought we had a great match, and I didn't have any problem with it.
Were you excited to work with Jeff at this point in time?
Yeah, I mean, Jeff was a top guy. He was the owner of the company, partial owner. He had a lot of success in WWE and WCW, so he was a top guy, and I was excited about working with him. Obviously, he was a great wrestler.
Is it different wrestling him knowing he is the head of the company? I mean, you beat the shit out of Shane McMahon before, so I guess this isn't too different.
You know what? I never thought of it that way. You know, beating the shit out of the owner of the company, but, you know, that...
At that point, he's a guy. He's one of the boys.
Yeah, he's one of the boys. You know, when you think about it, he's just another wrestler. Yeah.
That's right. Well, at Impact, the story is about how yourself, Booker, and Sting are taking and not giving back to the younger guys. You jerks. You prima donnas. Do you think that wrestling fans care about something like that, though? Do you think that we get invested in that storyline? Or should it just be who's better and who's going to win in a fight?
I think it's just who's better, who's going to win the fight. I don't think fans get that caught up in us not giving them opportunities. You know, it's just I think it's too complicated.
Yeah, I need some. I speak for myself, right? This is one man's opinion. Fans out there can obviously have their own opinions, but I need something a little bit more to sink my teeth into to care. Then you're not giving me my shot. What are you talking about? You're wrestling them right now. That's pretty much a shot. You know,
you're absolutely right, Paul.
Okay. Maybe I simplified it too much. Well, listen, you and Jeff have a promo, how Jeff picked you to become the face of TNA while he had to step back and he regrets it. And your retort is how you carried the company and he never said thank you. Well, here we go. Eventually there's a challenge for Bound for Glory and Jarrett points at the big screen and there's Mick Foley, your old pal. And he's saying, I think what Jeff is trying to say is it's real. It's damn real. Bang, bang. So this is Mick's debut for the company. How cool is it to see now Mick Foley in TNA, dude?
That was awesome. I mean, Mick is such a credential to the company.
Unbelievable.
I mean, he's a huge asset. I would consider him, even though he didn't work as much at this point in time, I would consider him about as valuable as me coming to that company. I really do.
Wow, that's big words for Kurt Angle to admit that. I almost fell off my chair.
I don't know if I'm putting him over or myself.
Usually it's you, but you're putting him over too. You're putting you both over. Listen, during this time, dude, you're on a press wave, and you're talking about how when your contract expires next year, you'd look at your options. Uh-oh, Kurt, here we go. Was that part of the storyline, or would you have gone back to WWE in 2009 if Vince picked up the phone?
No, I wasn't going to go back to WWE. I still had 2 more years left of my contract. The contract wasn't coming up at this point in time. So it was just part of the storyline.
And plus, you've said it over and over again. Dixie was just taking such good care of you.
She was. She always took care of me. She paid me well, never missed a paycheck. She let me rest and heal when I needed it. She always gave me the time off that I needed to recuperate. And she was so good to me. She
way was, less travel.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I didn't have to travel nearly as much as I did in WWE.
Yeah. Well, the story continued is that you'd be willing to go back and do business with Vince McMahon. And now that we're going to put his match together, Jeff is ready to send you back to the WWE. Do you think it's too much, given too much attention to WWE here?
You know what? I would say that if we were in close ratings with WWE, you know, maybe if we were close second or we were first and they were close second, but they were blowing us out of the water. So to mention them makes us affiliated with them. So it's not a bad thing to mention that because WWE was so big at the time. I mean, we were doing pretty well, but we weren't even close to the WWE.
Yeah. I gotcha. Well, Jim Cornette, he announces that you're fined $25,000 for your comments. And when you press him on who ordered the fine, Cornette doesn't say Jeff, but alludes to it. Does this make it weird that your opponent is fining you? I mean, how does that make you feel exactly?
Yeah, doesn't make sense. You know, my buddy, Angle, you're fined $25,000. And by the way, if you beat me, you're fined another $100,000.
Oh, man. And by the way, I'm the one who said I would send you back to WWE. How do you like that? Listen, there's a promo battle between you and Mick Foley, and Mick is putting you over big time. So just like you put him over on this podcast, he's putting you over back then. And you were just saying how much fun it was to work with him. But here you are. You're both in TNA. Talk to us about your interaction behind the scenes with Mick at this point. Are you guys just having a blast being together?
Yeah, you know, Mick was so entertaining. You know, he was really funny on the microphone. He didn't work as much. He didn't wrestle in the ring quite as much. He did every once in a while, but he was a huge asset to the company. And having someone like him involved in the company was a big deal.
It's validity. It adds validity to your product, having someone like a Mick Foley. At Bound for Glory, Kurt, here we are, clip two upon us. We have 3 total clips this week. You take on good old Double J, Jeff Jarrett, and Mick Foley's at ringside, and we have the ending to this match. Let's take a look.
The crowd, though, sensing that something special is going on here. That's Jeff Jarrett. I mean, he's fighting for this win. He's fighting for this company. Fighting for the decisions that he's made. He's not going to have somebody dictate what he's doing. Oh, no, McCurry. Here we go. German suplex.
Shoulders down. 2. No. Shoulder by Jarrett at 3. But you'll notice that Angle still hangs on. Is he going to try and go back to well another time? Exactly. German a second time. No pin attempt, however. Going to bring Jarrett up to the base and team overhead a third time. A third German. Here it is. Here's 1. The cover.
Again on instinct, Jeff Jarrett able to get those shoulders up in time at Kurt Angle. 3 German suplexes, and you can see him limping as he took a bad fall. Now you know what he wants to do. He's got the straps off.
Still feeling the effects of the feet for leg locks. Angle slam attempt is instead countered by Jarrett. Reverse caught him with that arm drag. Doubled him over with the boot. Jarrett going to try a pile driver here, but you see the reverse. Oh, Jarrett rolls through.
Oh, no.
Angle's
he's got
in the right
it.
Place for the ankle lock.
Look how he just turns that ankle where he wants it to go. And you can see Jarrett, and you see him shaking his head. Is he going to tap out? Is Kurt Angle going to get it right here? And he's got his base, and he's holding on. And look at the pain in Jeff's face.
We have now seen the submission moves, the padded moves of both men on display. And Jarrett wasn't able to put Angle away with the figure 4, but will the headlock be the decisive move here for Kurt Angle?
He just barely touched the ropes, but he couldn't grab on. Curly rolling over. It's almost like Kurt's teasing him. He's so close, and he is. He drags him back again, and that gets him mentally.
The closer that Jarrett gets, the more that Angle not only applies the pressure to the ankle lock, but at the same time drags him right back out to the middle of the ring to apply even more pressure, pain, and punishment.
Look at Kurt, just every oomph, he just puts that shoulder down and holds onto that ankle and twists. Jeff, look at this. Trying to do whatever he can, and he rolls over, and that's the only way you can do it, is he's able to somehow get the somersault to break it.
It's an effective move, but how damaged is the leg of the King of the Mountain, Jeff Jarrett? Angle slam attempt. Oh, dropped him down. This could be it.
One, two. Oh, my God. You've got to be kidding me. That was so freaking close.
Angle buries his head in his hands. He thinks, what else can I do? I weakened him with the ankle lock. I hit him with my ankle slam. But instead, Jarrett able to avoid three.
Both these guys in so much pain. As you see Jeff Jarrett, he's just laying there. This is the chance. Kurt going to go for that moonsault. Going to go to end it. He's got Jeff Jarrett prone on the mat. Kurt, though, his ankle hurting.
He's a little wobbly because of the figure four.
And there he goes. Just in time, Jeff went the right direction. He came back towards Kurt Angle, and Kurt then looking to miss, and he bows up.
If you think about it, it was the figure four that really was the key to Angle missing that moonsault off the top. As he made his way up to that top rope, you could just sense how his knee, his leg was wobbling.
It was, Mike. It was. As he's been lifting on his, and Jeff can't hardly get the stance on his.
Oh, God.
Oh, the referee's been knocked out as Jeff ducked. Kurt Angle hit him. Oh, but Jeff, this is his shot. Can he get it? He's going to try to sell the knee to the gut. Another knee to the gut.
Here he goes. Here's their stroke.
He hits it. Jared, oh, and the referee is out.
Yeah, but Mick Foley just slid in.
One, two. Oh, man. How about Mick Foley? He didn't hesitate. He was going to do the count.
We not only see Jarrett not tap out to the ankle lock, we see a... Oh my God, the long blow!
Just a dirty maneuver. As Mick Foley was checking on the referee, he nails Jeff Jarrett with that low blow, and look at Jeff.
Angle rolls out here. We're going to try and keep our eyes on him. Angle picking up a steel chair from around ringside. Mick Foley says, no way. You're not using a chair, is what Mick Foley just said to Kurt Angle. Get back in the ring.
Oh my God! It just crushed Mick Foley! Oh, my God! Kurt Angle just crushed him!
You should feel terrible.
Oh, no!
A sick chair shot to Foley!
Oh, he just crushes Jeff with the chair!
First it's Foley, then it's Jarrett with the just brutal shots, and now Angle's going to try and drag a dazed Rudy Charles back.
Here it is. One, two. Oh, it is! Mick Foley pulls it out! He's not going to allow it to happen!
Angle can't believe it! Foley back in, right in the face of the Olympic gold medalist, and Angle backs up, and Foley just dropped him with a right.
Look at this! Oh my God! He's pulled it out!
Here comes the sod!
Got it in his hand!
Mandible claw! Mandible claw with the sod!
Now Jeff Jarrett coming around! He's got the guitar!
Here it is!
Sends him right into it and smashes him! Here we go!
Angle down! Count!
One!
Count!
Two!
Count!
Got it!
Here is your winner, the King of the Mountain, Jeff Jarrett!
Now that's a special enforcer! And Jeff Jarrett! What a night!
My God, what a special moment, ladies and gentlemen, that we've not only witnessed.
Now that was a hell of an entertaining match.
It was. It was really entertaining, and Mick played a good role in it. I think we utilized Mick the right way. That was perfect.
It was. That was one of the better TNA booked matches that you and I have watched together on this show.
We have very few of those.
Okay, first of all, you're in fantastic shape in this.
I was doing the movie Warrior.
Okay, so you look lean. You look great.
I lost 30 pounds, yeah.
Jeff looks great. So you guys, I mean, this is a great match. If you guys haven't watched it, I would say go back and watch this. This is a fun match. You split Mick Foley. Why? I mean, you gave him that chair shot, bud.
You know what? He would not protect himself. He never does.
Oh, my God.
Put his hands up. He never does that. He's an idiot. And that's why he forgets who he is every once in a while now.
Now, you were kinder. It slid across Jarrett's head, so you were kinder to him.
Yeah, but I kind of swiped him. Yeah.
You swiped him, but listen, he was over from the start. From the Observer, Meltzer says there were thank you, Jeff, chants going on in the ring. Jarrett had tears coming down to the ring, and there was a lot. There was a lot of emotion going on here in this match. But at the very end of this, 3 3/4 stars. But how happy are you with this match? And
Very.
Yeah, you got it.
It was a 20-minute match. It made a lot of sense. The psychology was perfect. Jeff and I both had great performances.
Yeah, you guys really, you tore it down. Great match. By the way, we're talking Dave Meltzer and stars. I just saw a clip from Chris Van Vliet. I don't know if you saw it come through, where he's talking to Dave Meltzer, and he says, I just realized or heard recently, Dave, you never gave Kurt Angle a 5-star match. Did you know that, Kurt?
He never did he?
He gave you so many. We talk about it, make jokes about how Kurt loves Dave and Dave loves Kurt. And we've always talked about these 4, 4.5, but I guess he never gave you a 5.
I don't love Dave anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Fuck you, Dave. I'm kidding. Nah, man. I just had to throw that one in there. So we continue on, though, with the birth of the main event, Mafia, because later on that night in the main event, Nash turns on Samoa Joe and helps Sting defeat him and win the TNA title. Do you think it was too soon to take the belt off of Joe after this build here, Kurt?
Yes, but we had to. We were going to start the main event Mafia at this particular time. We had to do that. So unfortunately for Joe, his reign as champion had to end
a little quicker.
But I agree. I think that he should have held it longer. We just had to get the storyline through.
And it does make sense if you think about it, having the babyface chase the top heel. Always worked in
wrestling. Always works. Babyface chasing the heel. Yes, as champion.
How tough was it to get Sting to be booed? I feel like that had to be tough.
You know, it was almost impossible.
Yeah.
I mean, whenever he would come out alone, they were cheering him. You know, when we all came out as a group, you know, they booed us somewhat. But Sting, it was just almost impossible to make him a heel. Almost impossible.
Buddy, 2 weeks later, the official formation main event Mafia takes place on TV. And we got the clip. This is our final clip of the week. We're going to watch it together. The main event Mafia is born. Here we go. Let's watch it.
What is this?
Well, after seeing Jeff Jarrett and Mick Foley talk together and talk about this huge announcement that was going to change the face of TNA forever, and watching them ride off into the sunset, I thought I had to do something drastic. So I decided that I would change the face of professional wrestling forever. Not just TNA, but professional wrestling forever. So I made a few phone calls to some very, very, very important people.
Yeah.
And by midnight last night, the deal was done.
Yeah. Well, what does this have to do with Booker T?
Why don't you ask him?
You see, Jeremiah, what we have here, the elite, the best of the best, you see, in my country, back in Africa, the lion, the king of the jungle, the lion runs in packs. Very dangerous meat-eating beast. You see what you have here, Jeremiah? The lions of TNA. From this point on, we take what we want. We don't ask. We want respect from this point on.
Kevin Nash, you seemingly left TNA 2 months ago. We never thought we'd see you again. Now you're here. What's this about?
I did walk away. I had nothing left to accomplish. I thought about it. I mean, this business has always been about three things: money, power, and respect.
Respect.
You know, Joe gave me no respect.
Respect.
Joe gave Scott Hall no respect.
Respect.
You know, if you read the Bible in Proverbs, it says that with gray hair comes wisdom. I try to give wisdom to Joe. He spit in my face. I've always taken this as a business, but Joe, he made it personal. That's why I came back.
No disrespect, gentlemen, but the three of you together, you're all legends. You're all icons. You've done incredible things in this business. But I've been backstage. I've seen what Samoa Joe, what AJ Styles, the Motor City Machine Guns, what everybody's doing seems to be an uprising. And at least on paper, Kurt Angle, while the three of you are icons, the three of you are legends, I think the odds might be stacked up against you.
JB, this business was built on honor, dignity, and respect.
Respect.
You are seeing three of the greatest wrestlers of all time. But there is one more. Because when I go into battle, I am not going to go in with a stick. I'm going to go in with heavy artillery. So let it be known who that last person is. Reveal.
Stink?
JB, you look like you just saw a ghost. Why be so surprised, JB? I mean, look around this room. You know, Kurt, Booker, Kevin, and myself, we tried individually. We tried it the nice way, JB. All we wanted was a little bit of respect. You know, between Kurt and Booker and me, Charmel, Kevin, 75 years combined history right here. 75 years of blood, sweat, and tears for this wrestling business, JB, that we love. We asked and we asked nicely, but there's going to be no more asking, only demanding. And it's not going to be pleasure. It's going to be business, JB. Gentlemen.
You have a good night, Sting.
Sting, yeah.
All right.
Just a little bit, buddy.
Yeah,
just a little bit.
Since Sting does not want to stay for the party, I'd like to make a little salute. Gentlemen and Charmel, here's to the Main Event Mafia. Born tonight. Amen.
Respect.
What happened to Scott Steiner?
He wasn't there yet. He wasn't a part of the group, but I love Kevin Nash just quoting Proverbs over there. Okay.
I know. He's such a Christian man.
That popped me. That was fun. But man, I tell you what, it's like the Rat Pack sitting back there in the lounge with your suits on. Jeremiah Borash, as Booker said. Listen, this is so much fun, Kurt. And this is a big time stable, though. I mean, some of the biggest stars in wrestling. It happens backstage, though. It's not in front of the crowd. Did you like that? That it felt a little different? Or what were your thoughts on it?
I loved it because we could control it. Okay. When you're out in the ring, and the fans are going crazy and they're doing their cheers, yay, boo, all that stuff. You can't control the situation. And, you know, if you mess up, we just do it over again. So pre-taping it backstage was a lot better than putting it out there in the ring, because this was really important. We were starting something that we thought was going to be the nucleus of the TNA for good, forever. And so we wanted to make sure we did it right.
And you were able to create that ambiance, the suits, the nice leather couch, the motif.
The drinks and everything. Yes. Exactly. We were able to add a few more things into the fire.
Yeah, it gives it that touch that you're looking for. And it looked like you guys, according to you and just talking to you about all these guys here, you guys all got along.
We did. You know what? There was no political bullshit between us. Everybody played their role. They made me the godfather, which was really cool. And the reason is the godfather. Oh my God. The reason is Kevin Nash knew I was the workhorse of the company. he knew I was the guy. You know, Sting was a part-timer, not part-time, but he showed up just to TV.
Yeah, we get what you're saying.
So I was the guy that was working every single night.
The Kurt Angle Godfather t-shirts coming soon to the Kurt Angle Show store. Dominic, if you can get on that for us and do something fun, that would be great.
Let's go, Dom.
Oh, I'd love it. Well, hey, listen, we're going to continue this conversation later this year. We're not done with the Main Event Mafia, and we're going to watch some of these matches back later on. So just hang tight. Hang with the Kurt Angle Show. We're coming back. But did you know at this point, Kurt, did you guys realize, hey, we could be going to something pretty big here with us?
Yeah, we all knew. It was that actually worked out even better once we formulated it, and we were like, holy crap, this thing's gonna be huge. You know, I just don't think that we gave it enough time. I think if we would have let it mature for a while, it would be every bit as big as the NWO.
Oh,
that's a stretch.
There's the line of the show. That's going everywhere on all the sites.
Yeah, that's going viral.
That's going clickbait. Kurt Angle has fallen on his head too many times. He said, hey, would you have changed anything, though? Now, having sat here with me for the last 50 minutes and watched this from start, you know, till the announcement, would you have changed anything in the build?
You know what? The only other thing I might have changed was adding another character, another wrestler, and that would be Christian. Because he had a lot of success. He was a world champion.
WWE
he was
in WWE. Guy.
Yeah. He was a 20-time tag team champion, world tag team champion. So Christian would have been a good addition to our group.
He would have been that youth, right? Like we mentioned Tomko at the top. Guy. Yeah.
And I think he would be the guy that we were trying to train to be one of us.
Yeah. If you were the godfather, he would be like your son, kind of.
My godson.
Yeah, your godson. All right, here we go. We're loopy. We got some questions from our listeners. We appreciate each and every one of you, so let's get to those. Nick Lenz is up, our buddy. He says, Kurt, did you feel it was cool being in the Main Event Mafia?
Yeah.
you were pimping the suits. Of course it was cool, man.
Yeah. You know what? If you look at my demeanor the whole time, I thought I was cool, even though I wasn't. I mean, you look at me with my legs crossed, I'm drinking this drink and acting like I'm, you know, some important individual, you know, sophisticated guy. It was fun doing that. It was really cool.
It's really a full circle for you in your career, Kurt, because you started out as a geek in WWE.
Yes, I did.
Leave it to Beaver. Now you think you're mafia.
A nerd geek heel that drank milk and got made fun of.
And now you're a mafia member. I mean, it's full circle.
The head of the mafia.
Yeah, the godfather. Dylan's up next. He says, which faction was better in TNA, the Main Event Mafia or Aces and Eights? You're going to say the one you were a part of.
Well, Aces and Eights had a much longer run.
That's true.
And they had more members. But no, Main Event Mafia is the shit.
Yeah, sorry. There you go. Brian Haremza, our buddy, says Sting was the good guy coming into a group of heels. Was Sting always meant to be the wild card, or was there another choice you wanted to bring into the group?
Like I said, Christian would have been another addition. But Sting, we needed Sting. We knew we needed Sting. You know, he was the one guy that had more experience than anybody else. So he was the guy, I believe Kevin formulated that group thinking of Sting first.
When Kevin came up with the idea, Main Event Mafia, it's going to be me, Kurt Angle, Booker, and Sting. I mean, that was laid it out just like that. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, sir. Okay. But I think he thought of Sting first.
Okay. All right. There you go. Yambag Jones, he said, being a part of the Main Event Mafia was the first time we got to see Sting without a signature face paint. There you go. He's just wearing the shades. Do you recall any nervousness from Sting or any comments from anybody else about him shedding the paint after all those years?
You know what? He did make a remark to me once. He's like, dude, I don't know how I look without makeup. I don't know if I'm, you know, he was saying, I don't know if I look like an idiot. Or I said, Sting, you look great, man. And you're speaking well, and you're communicating incredibly well. So I don't know why he was so little nervous about not having the face paint on. But, you know, you have to remember he had it on for years, his whole career.
It's
so,
like a disguise.
It's like being naked.
You know? It's like, you know, maybe Rey Mysterio not ripping the mask off.
Yeah, Rey without the mask. Of course, Rey's going to feel a little weird.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, Dr. Tom Pritchard, who we used to do some shows together on ad-free shows, once said, Paul, I'll never forget when they made me as part of when him and Chris Candido had the tag team, the Body Donnas. And when they made him do that, they cut all his hair off and he had the short blonde hair, it was Skip and Zip. So he was like, Paul, do you know how weird I felt even flying and stuff? He's like, I have such long hair. I would hide in that. In the airplane, the airport, that was kind of my thing. My long hair was I could hide. I was a little bit more shy. And just having all your hair cut off really made me feel awkward. So I get it when they talk about, hey, I wrestled in makeup my whole career.
I'm sure it made all of them feel a little insecure.
I mean, you're out in front of your public for the first time. You know, for Kurt Angle, no big deal. He'll take the slinglet down. No big deal. He'll expose his nipples. Like, that's not a big deal for Kurt Angle. I mean, he'll run around, shave his head bald. He don't care. He'll wear a mop top that smells like somebody's asshole. He doesn't care. Kurt's going to do it all. But other people feel weird.
Like an asshole.
Oh man, Kurt, I had so much fun with you this week, buddy. And we're going to be discussing Victory Road 2009 next week, and we're going to talk a little bit more about your pal Mick Foley, because you're going to defend the TNA title against him.
All right, Angle versus Foley,
and hopefully you don't crack his noggin like we just saw with another steel chair shot. Holy shit.
Hey, anytime Mick's in a match, there's gonna be a steel chair shot.
Yeah, there's gonna be brain matter somewhere. Guys, listen, you can check out all Kurt's past top Impact moments at impactwrestling.com/packages and sign up with code Kurt. That's right. So that'll help Kurt out big time. If you're a Kurt Angle fan, we would appreciate it. Go to impactwrestling.com/packages. Again, code Kurt. And they have
TNA stuff. Yeah,
that's
WWE stuff, my TNA stuff.
It's all your TNA.
A little bit better of a career in TNA.
Yeah, we just watched a hell of a match with you and Jeff. So, guys, you can check it all out over there. And reminder, if your business targets 25 to 54-year-old men, we'd love to advertise your business right here on the Kurt Angle Show. So go to advertisewithangle.com right now. Find out more about advertising with the Kurt Angle Show. We have a targeted audience. Our listeners' downloads have been increasing by the month. Our YouTube channel has grown exponentially over the last several months, and we want to advertise your product. So check it out. Go to advertisewithangle.com and let Kurt Angle talk about your business or product, because my God, if anybody knows how to push products, it's Kurt Angle.
You're right. It's true. It's damn true.
If you didn't know that, you haven't been watching his Instagram. So there you go. And we want to talk about ad-free shows, guys, because I don't know if you guys got to check it out or not, but Top Guy Weekend was off the charts in Huntsville, Alabama. They got to be a part of their own wrestling show, Kurt. Tom Pritchard was there training them how to wrestle in the ring, and they got to meet a lot of great people. Dr. Tom teaching them how to take bumps, and they had an absolute blast down there. So check it out. Sign up. What's that?
Fans had to have a blast.
Oh, dude, they had an absolute blast. You guys can too, and you can get it on next year's. So they're talking about doing a beach theme next year. Bash at the Beach. I don't know what. Who knows? We might have some people show up in bikinis, Kurt. It's going to be wild. Guys, check it out.
Wrestling on the beach in bikinis.
Kurt Angle will be there in a slinglet. It's going to be great. Adfreeshows.com. You get the first week completely free, and then starting $9 after that. So check it out. Kurt and I are going to be doing a Zoom later on this month where we get to answer our top guys' questions, and Kurt interacts with them live. So you want to make sure you're a part of that. And then check us out on all the social media. Show handles at The Angle Pod, and Dominic's working hard on our social media over there. You can see everything we have going on. YouTube.com/The Angle Pod. Kurt and I really want to break 100K, and we're well on our way to doing that. So subscribe, turn on those notifications, and help us get there with that goal. Kurt, you know what I like to do right now? I want to start hearing about your products. I had a fan reach out to me. I'm going to put you on the spot right here live on the air. And he asked me about chicken snacks, Kurt. I just thought of this as you're grabbing them. And they asked, is the packaging different? He said the packaging seems like it's been a little different lately. Is that the case?
We changed it, yes. It doesn't look like this anymore.
Okay, all right.
But we changed our packaging. We actually changed our what's in the chicken snacks. We now have whey protein chicken snacks.
Ah, gotcha.
They're not chicken snacks. They would be Snack Smart crispy protein bites. So one's chicken protein, one's organic plant protein, and one is whey protein. So we have all three. And there's 11 different flavors. Sriracha, honey barbecue, cinnamon swirl, buffalo blue cheese. They're just great, great flavors. You're going to absolutely love them. Go to physicallyfit.com, order yours, and use promo code AnglePod. You get 20% off. Or if you go on and sign up as a member, a lifetime member, you'll get 20% off the rest of your life. So you can do that on the website, physicallyfit.com, chicken snacks, and Snack Smart crispy protein bites.
All right, Kurt, before we get to your Kurt Angle brand website, I want you to talk about that cookies and milk, cookies and cream protein.
My cookies and cream protein. Go to projectonenutrition.com. This is the best tasting protein on the market. Because I love cookies and milk, we make cookies and cream protein. And it's absolutely incredible. I love this. I'm so glad I'm part of it, that I'm the name and face of the protein. This company, Project One Nutrition, brought me on board and wanted me to be the name and face of the company and to sell this protein. And we're going to be in every GNC starting in July. We're already here. So we're in every GNC, or you could go to projectonenutrition.com to order yours. It's up to you. But like I said, go to GNC, get it there.
Man, that's so good. Kurt, you sent me some. I've already halfway through the container. It's so phenomenal. I'm having it for breakfast. And right in my milk, like as you said, cookies and milk, and it tastes so good.
It's a little better with milk. I mean, water still tastes incredible, but with milk, it's a little bit better.
Oh, hell to the yeah. Finally, let's talk about KurtAngleBrand.com for the Kurt Angle lover in your life, which is all of us listening to the show right now. Kurt, what can we find at KurtAngleBrand.com?
Let's see. Birthday cards, autographed photos, T-shirts, cameo video messages, cowboy hats, milk cartons. We got the whole ball of wax.
The whole ball of wax.
KurtAngleBrand.com. To order yours, I'll send it right to you.
Guys, listen, it's worth just going to KurtAngleBrand.com to see the picture of his face on the website. I guarantee you. Once you get there, then you can click around and enjoy. But check it out, man. And we appreciate all the support, Kurt. We had a bunch of sales this past month at BoxOfGimmicks.com on all these awesome T-shirts. I'm wearing the Kurt Angle cowboy hat 22 years.
That's right, 22 years to this day.
Yeah, we're recording on the day of this 22-year anniversary that you broke out, the cowboy hat. And we have that Jim Cornette lookalike T-shirt, the Dominic design. I'm wearing it. And, guys, this is the shirt we see people buying left and right. Get you one. I'm wearing one and support the Kurt Angle show.
Got to have Kurt Angle on your chest with the cowboy hat.
Yeah.
The mini cowboy hat.
We'll have Kurt Angle panties available soon for all you that want to wear Kurt Angle panties. We're going to have those as well. So that way you'll have it for our beach theme next year at ad-free shows. Kurt, this has been a blast, man. I've had a good time.
Me too, man. I had so much fun, Paul. Thank you.
On behalf of your Olympic hero, Kurt Angle, this is Paul Bromwell, and we'll see you right back here next week on The Kurt Angle Show.